All right, now remember, I ask the questions. I don't want no hard questions from y'all, okay? Seems like I always get one. All right. So I don't know who was here last week, so we do have a little bit of review. So what did Israel do when they came to the bitter water after being in the desert for 3 days? Bitter, and what'd they do after that? They complained, yes. So do we complain when things go wrong? I do for sure. So when Israel complained, what did God do? Made the water sweet. That's right. So he blessed them by doing that, right? And provided them with water to keep them alive, right? Keep them going. So we're going to read from Exodus 16, the whole chapter. So let's turn to that. All right, and they sojourned from Elam, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai. And on the 15th day of the second month, after they departed from the land of Egypt, so we're talking about 45 days, so they remember all the stuff that they went through in Egypt, except for the bad, we'll see. They remembered all the good stuff. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full." What do you think that means, ate bread to the full? They were full. Oh, man. You ever do that after Thanksgiving? You eat a lot at Thanksgiving? Yeah. That's what they like doing. That. So they're only remembering the good stuff, right? They forgot that they had to get up early in the morning and go work for free, right? Moving stones and all of that. "For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it came on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather." So why do you think they're gathering twice as much on Saturday than all the other days? We'll find out, okay? Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, "At evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your murmuring against the Lord. But what are we that you murmur against us?" So what's Moses saying there? He's like, why are you murmuring against us? God's the one that told us to do all of this. So he's really directing their focus to who they're murmuring to. Who are they really grumbling about to? God. That's right. Also, Moses said, "This shall be seen by the Lord. This shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full, for the Lord hears your murmurings which you make against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord." Okay. Then Moses spoke to Aaron, "Say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your murmurings." Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked forward toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. Remember the cloud that, where did the cloud come into play before? Where do we hear about this cloud? Right, so we had a cloud during the day, and what was that night? Pillar of fire, yep. So God's reminding them again. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So it was that quail came up at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. So everybody knows what dew is, right? So when the morning's kind of cool, and there's humidity in the air, the ground gets cold, and that humidity turns into water. It condenses the water. So you got this real thin layer of water on the ground. It's called dew. And it covers everything outside. Bo knows about that because he lives in Mississippi. It happens all the time. Everything rusts in your shop. So let's see. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small, round substance as fine as frost on the ground. Okay, does everybody know what frost looks like? Frost is kind of like the layer of dew, and it freezes, and it just turns everything white. So here they have these little, I don't know how big, you know, that seems kind of little, right, compared to that. So I don't know, maybe that big. That's right. The grass turns into like little white icicles sticking up. Let's see, where are we at here? All right, so frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. Okay, so these little white things that look kind of like frost is this manna, is this bread that they're going to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need, one omer for each person, according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. Okay, so everybody goes and collects all these things for people in their household. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. So that means, like Leo, he'd have a wheelbarrow getting all this food, you know. Marlena might have like a little bowl and fill it up, you know. So, and Moses said, let no one leave. Let me back up. All right, so when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing over, and he who gathered little had nothing to lack. Every man had gathered according to one's need. So if Leo got a little too much, then, all right, Marlena needs a little bit, so they give some to you. So everybody had pretty much the same amount for what they needed for that day. And Moses said, let no one leave anything till morning. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stunk, and Moses was angry with them. Okay, so Leo stashed a little bit under his pillow, and he's, man, something stinks in here. Got a bunch of worms, nasty looking stuff, okay? So why do you think God told them to only get what you need for that day? It'll turn into worms, but it's also teaching them to rely on God for their immediate need, just for that day, just for that day. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted. So there's another way that God makes it go away. So it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each person, And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord said. Tomorrow is the Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning." Okay, so they collect double on Saturday, right? That's because it's a Sabbath. This is the establishment of the day of rest, right? God worked 6 days in creation, and he rested, so to speak, on the seventh day. He didn't create anymore. So they're collecting everything they need for 2 days, today and then tomorrow, so they don't have to go and, quote, work. So they laid up until morning, and Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there worms in it. Then Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, there will be none." Okay, so on the seventh day, they can go look for it, but it won't be there. So it'll be a worthless task for them to do. Okay. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day and gathered, but they found none. Huh, surprising, huh? What did Moses tell them? Don't go out. There won't be any. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and lay and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place, and let no man go out to his place on the seventh day, out of his place." So the people rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel called its name manna. And it was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. So does that sound like it tastes good? Yeah, sounds good. You mix... you have some oatmeal, maybe put some sugar or some honey on it. It's a sweetener. They didn't really have sugar, so they used honey. So it was tastes good. It's kind of like carrying a flat donut with you everywhere. That's pretty good, right? Then Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Fill an omer with it to keep... to be kept for your generations, that they may see that the bread which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." So Moses said to Aaron, "Take a pot and put an omer of manna in it and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations." So here they're collecting just a little bit. They're putting it in a jar and they're saving it. It'll be good for generations. It'll never go bad. So that they'll see, all right. So, 5 generations later, Junior can say to Grandpa, "Hey, Grandpa, what's that? That manna that God gave the Israelites." So they go look at it. They can go look at it. "As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up, therefore, up before the testimony of the end to be kept. And the children of Israel ate manna for..." How many years you think? 40 years. Imagine eating the same thing for 40 years. But I think they did kind of break it up because it said you could boil meat and bake stuff. So maybe they made different things out of it. "Until they came to the inhabited land, they ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is 1/10 of an ephah." Oh, well, that makes that clear, right? So an ephah is approximately 9 gallons. So if 1/10, less than a gallon. So you get a fair amount. That's what, maybe 15, 20 donuts you can eat in a day. So you got to split it up, breakfast, lunch, supper. All right. All right, so what did Israel do when they were hungry in the wilderness of Sin? What do they always do when they come across something? You said it earlier. When they come to the bitter water, what'd they do? Complained. Yep, they're grumbling. They're grumbling again. Yep. They bitterly complained against God and Moses again. How did the Lord respond to Israel's need and their complaining? Did he tell them, hey, I don't care if you're hungry, What did he do for them? He provided something in the evening or in the morning, right? Remember what filled the, we had two things. First, we had some kind of meat. You remember what kind? Bread. Huh?
Blood.
Blood? Bread. Oh, bread. Well, that was the second thing. So the first one was the quail. A quail came in there because they got to eat meat. All right. So he promised to rain bread from heaven for them, but also to test them by requiring that they gather a certain amount of bread every day according to their needs and nothing on the Sabbath, right? So they're only supposed to collect. Now, when we go to the grocery store, we usually get at least 3 or 4 days supply, right? So we don't have to go again and again and again and again. How long did the Lord provide manna for Israel? 40 years. It's a long time, right? All right, so the Lord provided bread from heaven to feed his hungry people. Do you have a favorite kind of bread? Some people prefer the white bread or wheat bread or rye bread or sweet bread. When Israel was hungry in the wilderness, the Lord provided a different kind of bread. We don't know exactly what it was, and neither did Israel. So they called it manna, which means, what is it? So here the parents could say, you better clean your room or you ain't going to get any what is it for supper. Right? No manna for you. Whatever it was certainly tasty and nutritious. So bread and honey is very good if you've never had it. It's delicious. And was exactly what the Israel needed to nourish life in a barren wilderness. The Lord wanted his manna to be the favorite bread of his people because it showed his grace, his love for him, and his provision for all their needs. He also commanded that it be kept in a jar and stored so that future generations could see how God provided for them. It was important that we do not forget God's works of kindness, remembering his deeds and meditating on them in a good way to feed our faith, just like Israel fed their stomachs with the manna, or the what is it. Our favorite bread of all should be spiritual bread, the word of God. The manna from heaven was to teach Israel that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The provision of manna depended on God's promise, which did not fail, right? So he did it for 40 years, gave him just enough to survive on for 40 years every day. With every bite that the Israelites took, it was if God was saying, you can trust me, my promises are better than life. Like Israel, the Christian today is in the wilderness waiting to enter the promised land of the heavenly Canaan. We must feed ourselves daily with the word of God, just like Israel had to gather their daily portion of manna. And just like with manna, it is not enough to simply have it. So what use would manna be if you put it in a jar and put it in the cupboard? It wouldn't help you, right? You got to eat it, right? We must eat it and digest it. We must receive the word of God into the depths of our hearts and souls. All right, so how do we receive God's word into the depths of our hearts and souls? And so when Bible talks about the hearts, it's talking about our mind, our thoughts, the essence of who we are, because, you know, as a believer, when we die, we go to be with the Lord, but where's our body? In the ground, right? So the word of God feeds our soul, our heart, our essence. Okay. So by not hearing it with our ears, but by believing it with our hearts, the word must be received by faith, or it will not nourish our spiritual life. All right, so what if we have no hunger for God's word? What do? Pray. Very good. So we can ask God, pray God. God, you know, I love you. I want to hunger for your word. I want to have that desire. Okay. And then in John 6:51, what does Jesus teach us about himself? 6:51. All right, Jesus says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh. Okay, so do we eat Jesus? No. So he's just giving us a metaphor for his life is what gives us life. Okay. Any questions? Everybody knows what a measurement is. Let's see, where's that? The Omer. Omer, you know what an Omer is? About a gallon. Okay. Can you eat a gallon of donuts? Everybody, we know Leo can, right? He'd go hungry for lunch and supper. That's right. All right. Well, let's pray. Dear Father in heaven and our gracious God, Father, we thank you for the bread that Jesus is, the bread that gives us life, that sustains us in this life and the future life with you in paradise. And Father, we pray that we would indeed hunger for your word, that we would desire to know it, to study it, and discern from it. Father, we pray that you would be with Owen as he preaches this morning. Pray for discernment and that we all would have ears to hear. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.